Are you tired of your digestive system feeling like a circus act gone wrong? Introducing Ritual's 3-in-1 Gut Superhero Symbiotic Plus. A probiotic, prebiotic, and postbiotic all rolled into one. And with 25% off with the code POWER, there's no better time to check out Ritual. Let's break it down. Probiotics are like the cool kids at the gut party, keeping everything in check and making sure the good vibes are flowing. Prebiotics are their wingmen, fueling the party with all the right snacks to keep the good bacteria thriving. And postbiotics, well, they're like the cleanup crew, sweeping away the mess and leaving your gut feeling fresh and fabulous. So say goodbye to the gut drama, and remember, there's no more shame in your gut game. Symbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/power. Tossing and turning all night like a salad? It's time to put those sleepless nights to bed for good. Enter Tenassi, my sleep saviors, and they have science to back up their sleep, anxiety, and pain-relieving powers. Back in 2016, they invested a $2.5 million grant to Middle Tennessee State University to study the hemp plant. Turns out their special patent-pending CBD-CBDA formula is twice as effective as CBD alone and can be more effective than over-the-counter ibuprofen, acetaminophen, and aspirin. So if you're tired of tossing and turning like a rotisserie chicken, then Tenassi's got your back with their range of great products from tinctures to gummies to lotions. Tenassi is my go-to when I can't sleep or I have way too much anxiety. I'm so glad that I discovered them. So go to Tenassi.com and use the code POWER to get 25% off your order. That's Tenassi.com, T-A-N-A-S-I, to get 25% off your first order with the promo code POWER. We do the same thing with our diet that we do with our drinking. Our eating habits aren't great, but they're not bad either, so it feels manageable. But our food quality impacts our mental health and stress levels. I've been struggling with fatigue and depression, so it got me interested in the link. In this episode, I'm explaining the importance of breakfast and a high-quality diet. You'll learn how what you eat impacts the way you feel, how stressed you are, and how this makes us more likely to reach for a drink or to emotionally eat at the end of the day. So let's dig in. To the Sober Powered Podcast. I'm your host, Jill, and today, because we are talking about eating, I do want to give a disclaimer. I'm going to be really mindful throughout this episode of triggering anyone, but I am going to discuss the idea of skipping breakfast and diet culture and all of that. So if that stuff bothers you or makes you uncomfortable, you may want to come back to this episode later. So if you're still with me, I have been skipping breakfast for most of my life, probably because of diet culture. I thought that women were supposed to skip breakfast, and it's a cool thing to do. And then as I got older, intermittent fasting became a thing, and I heard good things about that. So I just kept skipping breakfast. But recently, I've been struggling with extreme fatigue, like struggling to keep my eyes open during the day fatigue. And it's really depressing. It's impacting my quality of life and my ability to work and do anything. It makes me want to skip the gym, which probably makes it worse. And it makes me want to make unhealthy food choices to comfort myself, which also probably makes it worse. Researching and creating 2 podcast episodes a week for you takes about 20 hours of my time. And this fatigue has been slowing things down and increasing my stress levels. More and more often, I'm recording and editing episodes the night before they're supposed to be released, and I don't want to live that life anymore. Last minute podcasting is not very fun. Anyway, if you know anything about my personal life, then you know I've been back at the gym and working with a trainer to get my deadlift up to 200 pounds. My trainer is seriously the best, and he helps me in all areas of life, not just the gym. We talk about stress, sleep, nutrition, and being overworked. He's made me become aware of my bad habits and my insane working hours. And I'm not saying this to get sympathy. I have a point. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who sacrifices self-care, hobbies, exercise, and good nutrition to work more or to take care of other people more. So with this fatigue, I've been wondering, is my depression really bad and this is why I'm so tired? Am I just burned out from working 7 days a week for 4 years? Or is there actually something wrong with me? And all three possibilities seem plausible. I've been getting extra sleep, but something I'm starting to become aware of is my awful diet. I'm stressed, so I exist on coffee all morning until mid to late afternoon when I realize I haven't had any water all day. And I eat a variety of snacks at the kitchen counter until dinner time. But then after dinner, I'm snackish and I try to convince my husband to walk to the convenience store with me to get treats. I'm not proud to admit this to you, but this is what I've been doing. And I justify it by saying, I'm busy. This is manageable. I'll deal with it later. But in therapy and in the women's only meetings in my community, I've been questioning body image and diet culture more and more recently, and all of the subconscious impact that this has on the way that I live my life. And this, plus discussing breakfast and nutrition with my trainer, has made me interested in learning more. I want to clean up my nutrition and see how that impacts my mental and physical health. I'm existing in this place that you may be familiar with, where my nutrition isn't that bad, but it's definitely not good. That's exactly what I did with my drinking too. I made excuses and justified what I was doing when really it was pretty bad. It's hard to address something when it's somewhat manageable, but my poor nutrition has been on my radar for a while. I had to keep thinking about it, talking to others about it, and then this fatigue happened that has really pushed me into action. And it's also very similar with our drinking where we're just not ready yet, and it's frustrating, but now I finally feel ready. So I have a lot of research to share. A 2022 meta-analysis of 14 studies published in Nutritional Neuroscience looked at the relationship between breakfast and mental health. And these studies included almost 400,000 people ages 6 to over 65. They found a significant association between skipping breakfast and the odds of depression, stress, and psychological distress. There was no association between skipping breakfast and anxiety, but when they just looked at teens, they do see a relationship between skipping breakfast and anxiety. As a person who has always struggled with depression, this is very interesting to me. So I immediately went to get some breakfast as soon as I started reading this study. Another review of 9 studies on depression and nutrition found that poor diet quality is linked to increased alcohol use, smoking, and inactivity. Diets that contain a lot of processed foods are linked to an increased risk of mental health conditions, and a better quality diet is linked to less psychological symptoms. Even after they control for things like age, socioeconomic status, education, physical activity, and other lifestyle factors that have an impact on our mental health. So nutrition is pretty important. A 2016 study published in the Journal of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics compared 40 breakfast eaters with 35 breakfast skippers. So the participants were all women ages 18 to 45, and they found no difference in calorie intake between the two groups, so the breakfast skippers eat more later in the day. The group who ate breakfast normally had a higher quality diet that included more whole grains, fruit, fiber, calcium, potassium, and folate. Breakfast skippers ate more sugar and saturated fat. And most importantly, the breakfast skippers ate more at night. And when they felt stressed, they consumed more empty calories and nighttime sugar. And this relationship did not exist for breakfast eaters, that when they felt stressed, they reached for food for comfort. And there are a few studies that have found a link between diet quality and the amount of times that you eat and snack throughout the day. And I told you in the beginning of this episode, I am snacking. When we wake up in the morning, we typically wake up as our best selves. This is when we resolve not to drink today, not to eat junk, and to go to the gym. It's later in the day when things fall apart. So if we eat a meal while we're our best selves, then it's more likely to be a healthy, balanced meal. Starting my day with a green smoothie makes me feel so smug. I love it. Green smoothies do not have the same effect later in the day. The thought is that breakfast may reduce circulating cortisol. And please go listen to episode 201 about cortisol and how our stress system becomes dysregulated. I went into a lot of detail there that adds on to this episode. A 2014 study on breakfast found that when breakfast-skipping teen girls ages 18 to 20 started eating breakfast, their food cravings decreased. They found that any breakfast reduced cravings, but the group that ate a high-protein breakfast had a greater reduction in cravings. And they measured dopamine levels via a dopamine metabolite called homovanillic acid, or just HVA, that can be measured in urine. All breakfast increase HVA concentration, but the more protein that you had in your breakfast, the more HVA you had. So it's been suggested that more dopamine means more satiety from our food, and then more satiety means less itchy cravings for junk later on. And I promise this episode is not just all about breakfast, by the way. We are instant gratification people, and we seriously struggle to delay immediate rewards for potential long-term greater rewards. It's hard for us to resist the immediate reward of sugar or junk for the long-term reward of being healthier and feeling better about ourselves. And just like with alcohol, you're not doing this because you're a weak-willed loser who has no self-control. Our brains adapt to what they are consistently exposed to. A 2013 study published in Physiology and Behavior found that high levels of chronic stress in women resulted in exaggerated activities in areas of the brain involving reward, motivation, and habitual decision-making when these women were shown pictures of high-calorie foods. This also led to significant deactivation in the frontal areas of the brain that allow us to plan and control our emotions. The connectivity in their brains was even different. So chronic stress changes the brain to make it harder for us to resist highly rewarding instant gratification choices. I mean, great, right? Just what we need. This combination of increased activation of reward regions and decreased activation in executive functioning regions is associated in studies with weight gain and the inability to inhibit food-seeking behaviors. Stress impacts the brain a lot, and several studies have found that stress reduces our inhibitory control and it drives comfort eating at night. Chronic stress has a major impact on our executive functioning skills and how much we're able to use those skills. Because remember, I just said it deactivates those regions in the brain. So if that region in the brain isn't becoming activated, how can you use the skill to let you control your impulses? A big focus for me this year is to work on my stress levels. I have always been a highly stressed person, which is what initially drove me to drink every day. And I know that it is so bad for my health. I want to age well and stay independent and mobile. And I know how bad stress is for the brain. Chronic stress is bad for our heart health too, and it can shorten our lifespan. We can't just be like, okay, not stressed anymore. Thank you. I'm cured. But it's important to evaluate all the sources of stress that we have in our lives and see if we can manage them, eliminate them, or ask for help, which we're not good at. But just checking out at the end of the day with alcohol or food is not a way to manage stress. That's how we keep stress in our lives. And also, if you listen to episode 201, create even more stress. So another study on breakfast skipping women with a similar study design as the other one I talked about, found that breakfast skippers had higher blood pressure and lower LDL cholesterol. And this study also included a stress condition where they stressed them out. And they found that breakfast skippers had higher circulating cortisol until the mid-afternoon and a blunted cortisol response. Both groups said that they had the same amount of stress, and they were also aligned in weight and body composition. So the conclusion here is that when stress is the same for everyone, breakfast skipping is associated with overactivity of the HPA axis, which regulates stress hormones like cortisol and also adrenaline. So you may not notice that your stress system is dysregulated because it feels normal for you. And like I explained in episode 201, this can make us reach for a drink or for unhealthy food to help us regulate and calm down. We don't know that we're doing that, but the unhealthy food choices or the alcohol is actually regulating our stress system in the brain and making us feel better. So addressing our nutrition in general, but also earlier in the day when it's easier to make a good choice, can help with overall stress levels and prevent behaviors at night that make us feel disappointed in ourselves and prevent us from reaching our goals. We skip breakfast because we don't have the time, we're already rushing when we wake up, we haven't bought the food, or because we think eating breakfast means that we're going to eat more calories for the day. So whatever your reasoning is, I would encourage you to think on it more. And remember that all the studies that I discussed, the breakfast skippers evened it out by eating more at night. And just like I said in episode 202 about doing the work, a lot of this is taking a thought out of your head, looking at it, turning it over and looking at it that way, showing it to someone else and having them look at it, and so on. So if you've been doing something consistently for years, like skipping breakfast, and you're not sure how it's working out for you, then just try eating breakfast for a month. Worst case, the only benefit you get is feeling smug for having a healthy breakfast. Skipping breakfast is always an option that you can go back to if it doesn't work out. And if fear of calories and weight gain is keeping you away from breakfast, then I really encourage you to speak to a therapist about this. I worked on my relationship with food and body image in therapy, and it was really freeing, and I revisit it from time to time to do more work on it. So I'm challenging myself to eat breakfast every day and just see what that does for me. And I'll keep you updated. So if you enjoy this podcast, I'd really appreciate if you could share it with others and help me get this information to people who need it. And I'll talk to you in the next one.
I'm Madeline, and I'm the host of the Happiest Sober podcast. I got sober in my 20s after a decade of gray area drinking, and the greatest plot twist of all time was realizing that alcohol, the thing that I thought made my life the most happy and fun and exciting, was actually the exact thing preventing me from living my happiest and best life. My mom is 40 years sober, and she joins me on my podcast very often. I like to call her my part-time co-host, and I also bring you solo episodes where I share my top tips, tricks, and mindset shifts in sobriety, and lots of how-tos for navigating all the things sober, from weddings to parties to holidays to bachelorette parties to trips. I'm also joined by so many guests who come on and share their sober stories, and they're all so, so inspiring. I'm here to show you that life doesn't end when you quit drinking. In fact, it's very much the opposite. And no matter what your relationship was with alcohol, life can be the absolute happiest when you're sober. New episodes come out every Tuesday. You can listen to Happiest Sober podcast wherever you get your podcasts.